began to practice the politics of the Qing kingdom because Qu Yuan thought that the Qing kingdom's political practices were corrupt. In our more contemporary times, you have other scholars who are corroborating this. So recently, historian Zhi Zhen suggested that Qu Yuan's love with a relationship with King Huai is based on a shared political belief that, quote, pushed by love, unquote, can champion the people. But Qu's later exile meant to him a betrayal by his beloved. Some, like gender scholar Fang Gang, have gone as far as to suggest that Dragon Boat Festival is the world's first ever Valentine's Day, and a gay Valentine's Day at that, and believes that it should be celebrated as such. So that's a lot of information. Jade, how are you processing?
I am very slowly processing this. I am pretty delighted. Like, I didn't know that this was the origin. I have never heard the story. When we were talking about it last week off air, we were talking about the Dragon Boat Festival. Leslie, you talked about this, like, you mentioned something about homoeroticism. And I was like, wait, what? That can't be right. And I tried looking it up and I didn't find anything. And we kind of like collectively agreed that you just misremembered. And then like that night you were like, no, actually I was right. And you sent me all these links and I've been reading them and just like, oh my God, this is great. Not sure if I would agree that this is the world's first Valentine's Day. I mean, it's kind of a really tragic story.
Yeah, I agree with your sentiment. Before we talk about the world's first and potentially gayest, but also saddest Valentine's Day, shall we listen to some music?
Here's a classic for you. It's Ouyang Feifei with 热情的沙漠.
Thank you.
That was Non La here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was his track Into the Water. How very apt for this episode of the program. And before that, you heard Landy Nguyen with 夏天的风.
My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
Talking about Dragon Boat Festival, and we just talked about like the possible homoerotic origins of Dragon Boat Festival, which in many ways I think directly kind of clashes with the mainstream narrative of one of the reasons or one of the stories behind the holiday. I think a few years ago when Chu Yuan's like love for the king or whatever began picking up more steam in Chinese new media circles, there was a lot of backlash, and then there were a lot of people who were just kind of like, oh cool. So that's a thing. We just talked about whether or not Dragon Boat Festival is the world's first ever gay Valentine's Day. Yeah, I would have to agree with you, Jade. I don't like that sentiment. I'm not a huge fan of that argument. Really wanted to. They can revere Chu Yuan as a gay icon in Chinese history if they really wanted to. If they were like both, they were both queer and also like really into their country. But I'm not
a huge nationalist king.
Yeah. Oh, a nationalist thing, definitely. But I'm not a huge fan of that because, you know, like you said, this is a day commemorating the suicide of some guy, right? And if we frame it as like commemorating the suicide of some guy over his male lover, it's like we've regressed as an entire community of queer people. It's like the complete
surely there are better stories.
It's like the complete opposite of the representation matters argument, which is like,
oh my God. Now that you mentioned that, it would be so funny to see Tumblr discourse about this. Can you even imagine? Ugh. Like not even, I don't know what Tumblr's doing now, but like peak, like 2012 Tumblr discourse about like gay representation. I want to see their take.
Oh my God. Well, go on Twitter. Everybody's moved over there.
Yeah.
And then the cool kids moved over to TikTok where they can do it in video form. I mean, like, and as I'm not a fan. And as I said to you, like off air, it's like if a queer person told me that their favorite gay film of all time was Brokeback Mountain, like I wouldn't know how to respond, but I know that in my mind, I'd be like,
really?
Why? can you please try to imagine something better for yourself? Not a huge fan of that. But I was also really delighted to find this out when, oh my God, I don't know, must have been a couple of years ago, and which that was why maybe my memory was so foggy when I told you like the homoerotic origins of Dragon Boat Festival, because there are a few, I think, stories in Chinese history about people in queer relationships that are actually really, really sweet, and that are more well known. For example, the cut sleeve story.
I was just gonna say, like, that's like the one that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. There's, I think, also like the bitten peach story, where somebody shares fruit with their loved one. Not in the call me by your name way, but in the other way.
that wasn't, I wouldn't call that sharing fruit with your loved one. Call me by your name. I mean, there's sharing and fruit and a loved one, but I wouldn't put that together as a sentence.
Yeah, but there are like these, a lot of other stories. And I think in if you do a little bit of digging on the internet, you can find a lot of other stories as well. I don't really have other thoughts about this other than, like, I don't want to celebrate gay Chinese Valentine's Day. I feel like I should just, like, eat sticky rice dumplings. Although I will say that while I was doing research, I found this article on South China Morning Post that is from 1999, and therefore it is locked in the archives. But the title of the work is something like, Hong Kong celebrates first pride during Dragon Boat Festival. And I really want to read that article. I want to see, I want to find out if it has anything to do with Xu Yuan's, like, homosexuality, to celebrate pride during Dragon Boat Festival. Feels right, very interesting. Yeah. If you are listening to this program and you have a subscription to South China Morning Post, please message us on Instagram at Typically Tuesdays. Maybe we can work something out. I really want to get my hands on that article. I would like to find out. Or alternatively, if you were at Hong Kong Pride in 1999, please hit us up. We are at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram, or typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. If you want to email us, would really like to know what that experience was like. Thoughts?
I don't know. I do think there's something kind of romantic almost about the way that people, like, reclaim queer history. So it very much reminds me of, like, the capital R romantics who were doing that to, like, ancient Greek mythology and stuff like that, where, like, Oscar Wilde was like, yeah, I love Achilles, you know?
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Or a lot of women who love women with Sappho. Really, yeah. Really into her work.
Yeah, good stuff.
Good fun stuff. Fun stuff.
This is Bird Note. If you've already done things around the home with birds in mind, like hanging up bird feeders or nest boxes, turning off the lights at night during migration, keeping cats indoors, consider one more action that might be less obvious. Turning the thermostat down a degree or two in the colder months and up a degree in the warmer months might seem more about personal preference or energy bills than birds. But climate change is a grave threat to birds, putting 2/3 of North American bird species at risk of extinction. So anything that decreases carbon emissions is a step towards a better future for birds, not to mention people. Of course, not everyone can change their thermostat settings, depending on building policies and health concerns. But if you are able to, turning thermostats down in winter and up in summer, and using alternative ways to stay comfortable, can save up to 10% on a home's yearly energy costs. And programmable thermostats can help keep your heating and cooling efficient without much input from you. Bird Note is on a mission to inspire 1 million people to take action to help birds over the next 3 years. To learn more, visit birdnote.org. I'm Ariana Remmel.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. My name is Leslie. Hope you enjoyed today's TT Rewind, TT Repeat. That was most of the episode that Jade and I did 3 years ago about Dragon Boat Festival. If you want to listen to the whole thing, including the playlist that he selected, which is all about bodies of water, you can check that out over on cjsf.ca and look up the Typically Tuesdays archive. It is the episode, I believe, that aired June 14th, 2021. So get into it if you want more of that. It is such a joy to be able to share this episode again, because, again, it's one of my favorite programs that I've done for community radio, and I remember having so much fun with Jade. Listening to the episode again reminds me of all the fun times that we had during those really kind of crappy years during the height of the pandemic. Yeah, and being reminded of these like kind of like alternative readings of this pretty important holiday for a lot of Chinese people is very exciting. I love learning about queer history in particular, and queer Asian history and queer Chinese history is something that I have a particularly keen interest in. Hey, listen, if you have some interesting queer history tidbits that are not as discussed in the West and that are not as recent, please send it to me. I would love to know more. I am over on Instagram at Typically Tuesdays, and you can reach me through email if you want instead, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Additionally, again, and still, it has been 3 years and yet nobody has reached out. I don't know why. But if you have a subscription to South China Morning Post and or you went to Hong Kong Pride 1999, please, 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 can you please, 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 please get in touch with me. I really, really want to know more about that article that was discussed and about the events. I feel it viscerally, you know. At Typically Tuesdays on Instagram or typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. Please. We're wrapping up the show as we are hitting the top of the hour here. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you for always tuning in and for choosing Typically Tuesdays and for choosing grassroots independent media for your choice of listening material. You make us better, you make us, and we can't be radio without you, so thank you for tuning in. I wish you a very happy Dragon Boat Festival, that you get to eat some sticky rice dumplings, and also that you get to spend it with your loved ones, especially if you have a queer lover who's really into river rafting. Please be careful out there. Tune into more great CJSF programming. Obviously, listen to Democracy Now! I'm always going to plug it every weekday from 11 to 12. Stay engaged with what's happening around the world. It's really important that you do. Also, on the hour before, on Fridays, you can check out Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon with your host, Charlotte Sistacy Farrell, all about like arts and culture and health. It's a very cool program. Check it out. My name is Leslie. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. And here's one last track of the day. Actually, a classic. A pioneering Chinese pop artist. This is Zhang Lu with 永远在一起, We'll Always Be Together. Thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.